Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. I'm Jeff Gamet. Today is Tuesday, August 28th, 2018. With me today, I have Andrew Orr. How's it going, Andrew?
Hey, it's going well. Happy to be here.
Glad to have you here. Dave Hamilton, how's it going for you?
It goes. Thanks for having me. It's great to be here.
It's great to have both of you here. It's also great that our sponsor today is Jamf Now, and we'll be talking about them soon. But what I'd really like to talk about first is Brian Bumberry, and I hope I'm saying his name right. So here's the deal. Jimmy Iovine has scaled back his involvement with Apple Music. So, he is now a consultant. And so that means that there's been some changes that have been happening with the people that are managing the different aspects of Apple Music. So part of that involved bringing Brian Bumberry on board. He is now the new director of Apple Music Publicity. And he has a history in the music industry, of course. Apple wouldn't just hire anyone for the spot. He spent most of a decade at Warner Brothers handling artists like Madonna and Green Day and Metallica. So he was a PR strategist there. And I know he worked for another music-related PR agency. And then in 2011, he started his own PR company, BB Gun Press.
Yeah, that's a big one. I've heard from them many times related to things at like South by Southwest and for our Gig Gab podcast and stuff. I mean, they were a big deal in the music industry. So I wonder what happens to BB Gun Press. Does like Peter, who was there, take over, or like how does that go?
Yeah, people that are there are taking over Brian's role.
Okay.
So BB Gun Press is not going away.
Got it.
So
okay.
All I can figure is that whatever Apple offered Brian, it had to be a really sweet deal. If he's willing to leave his own music PR agency.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Huh? Yeah. Well, you know, that's the right, I mean, this is the right thing for Apple to do. You need someone with those connections already, right? Mm-hmm. You can't just hire someone that is skilled generally at PR and bring them in to that world, right? I mean, so much of how the entertainment business works specifically, largely because you have these people that are, you know, quite literally rock stars, right? And generally just people with some level of notoriety have to shield themselves from being accessible to everyone, right? Mm-hmm. Because otherwise it would get to be overwhelming potentially. And so trust plays a huge role in your ability to get anything done in that industry. And that's, of course, true in any industry, but so much more so in the entertainment business. And often it's that if someone knows you and trusts you, it's easy to do business together. And if someone has no idea who you are, you're just like shut out and there's no path and no access. So for Apple to hire someone that's already got trust and credibility and contacts, well, I mean, that's the only way to go. They don't have time to bring someone in to, you know, throw the weight of Apple's name around to build up their own Rolodex, right? They need to come in with a Rolodex. And so this makes sense.
And he definitely has a Rolodex.
Yeah, of course. Right. Yeah. Big time. Yeah. I mean, there's the people he's managed, but that level of client means that he's been in touch with basically everyone in the industry. Mm-hmm. And that's how this works.
Yeah. So that sounds to me like a good replacement for Jimmy Iovine.
It does. Oh, I think it's a perfect replacement. Yeah. Yeah. There's some other people I could think of too. Thomas Meyer just left Sonos, right? And he created that for himself and also for Sonos while he was there, and he left them earlier this year. But again, you know, he's got this Rolodex of contacts that's continually astounding to me. But you know, he's taken 20 years to build it, and you need someone that already has done that work. That's right. Yep.
And it just occurred to me that there's probably a segment of our audience that has Googled Rolodex now to see what that means.
Yeah, kids, you can ask your parents or Google.
Or Google. Yeah. Andrew, do you know what a Rolodex is?
Thankfully, I do.
Okay. Good save. Yeah. All right. Well, so this tells me that concerns that I heard some people having about Jimmy Iovine stepping back from such a big role with Apple Music, it's probably not that big of a deal.
Yeah.
And to assume that Jimmy Iovine is the only person that would have all the right contacts to and the right reputation to be able to make deals come together, or at least to get the right message about Apple Music out there. Yeah, there's other people that can do that too.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Well, I'm looking forward to seeing how this works out for Apple and Brian. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Hey, we have a sponsor today, and that sponsor is Jamf Now. And if you have a business where you have a bunch of employees that are using Macs and iPhones and iPads, even Apple TVs, you need a way to manage all of that, to make sure that you know what devices you have in your inventory, keep track of all those serial numbers, stay on top of things like, are the right system updates installed? Do you have the right security settings? Making sure that you have strong passwords on all your devices. Having a place where you can manage email settings and even apps that are installed. And that's what Jamf Now lets you do. So if you're familiar with the term mobile device management, okay, here you go. This is something that lets you do that, but without the brain damage that can come along with other mobile device management systems. You don't have to spend a crazy amount of time to figure out how to actually use this. All you really need to do is start using it. So it's really easy to use. It's very affordable, and they've also added in the ability just recently so that you can send your own package files to Macs and your own custom iOS apps to iPhones and iPads, which means that if you're developing your own apps internally for your employees, you now have a way to deploy those easily and quickly. So awesome. So I said this is easy and affordable. Here's the affordable part. Accounts are free. And you can have up to 3 devices on your account for free. And that's not a special deal. That's a forever thing. So free and 3 devices for free. If you need more than 3 devices on your account, not a problem. $2 per device per month. So really affordable. It's easy to scale up without breaking your bank. And you don't have to spend years in school or weeks in training to figure out how to use this. It takes seriously minutes to get up and running. So here's what you need to do. Head over to the Jamf website. That's jamf.com/TDO. Sign up for your free Jamf Now account and get 3 devices in there for free. And try it out and just use it because it's pretty cool. I've been using it for a while, years, and I love it. Jamf.com, JAMF.com/TDO. And thank you, Jamf Now, for being our sponsor. Okay, the other thing that I want to talk about today is inspired by you, Andrew. You wrote a piece yesterday about how people are using their AirPods as a way to not get bothered by other people. because it creates that visual cue. And it made me think about how when I'm walking around Pearl Street Mall in Boulder, even if I'm not listening to music, I put my AirPods in, because there are so many people out there, depending on the time of year, with their little clipboards or their iPads, trying to get you to donate to different causes, that it actually can become difficult to get where you need to go, because you keep getting interrupted by all these people. But with your AirPods in, they don't talk to you because they assume you can't hear them. Yeah. And
that doesn't always work for me, though, because when I'm using the elevator in my building, sometimes there will be people that talk to me even with my AirPods in. But thankfully, with Apple's feature, if I just take one out, it automatically pauses, so that's a lot easier.
Sure. Yeah. So, well, the thing for me is, when I saw your piece, and I thought about what I've been doing without even realizing it, it made me think these pieces of technology that we have with us every day, this is changing our social interaction with other people. And I'm finding that fascinating. Yeah. And I'm curious if you guys are seeing that, or at least experiencing it in some way, or aware of it now that, Andrew, you've written this piece.
I mean, we've all heard and experienced this in our lives. I think all of us have, with how iPhones and other smartphones are changing the way we interact, because sometimes people don't interact if they're using their phone. Mm-hmm. But I think, there's some interesting other examples, you know, like with AirPods, how it's changing interaction, but maybe not so negatively.
In what way?
Well, I mean,
I'm totally AirPods, putting you on the spot.
I know, it's okay. Like with AirPods, it seems to me it's a bit more subtle. Like people see them in your ear, that's a visual signal saying, hey, I don't want to talk right now. But to me, using an iPhone, if you're in a group of people, might be a little more negative, because you're completely ignoring them. You're in your own world. You're, you know, looking at a screen. Mm-hmm. Whereas with AirPods, you're a little bit more aware of your surroundings.
Oh, I see. Yeah. Yeah.
So do you think people know this? Like they're aware of the fact that you're more aware, right? Like and leverage that? Is that why they talk to you versus if you had, you know, big like over the ear headphones on that also easily could be letting in just as much sound as AirPods, by the way. But you know, I don't know. Yeah. I have found that people will talk to me with AirPods in more often than I would expect.
I used to get that all the time, but I totally get that I'm in a special place.
Sure. Yeah. Of course.
Yeah. And once AirPods became readily available, my assumption was that the entire city and county of Boulder bought all of them, because it went from you'd see a couple people to everyone has AirPods. It's crazy. So, Dave, you're really into watches. So yes. I'm assuming you've watched people's mannerisms, or you're aware of people's mannerisms with watches. And this is something that I had forgotten about, because I hadn't worn a watch for so long until I got an Apple Watch. And what I'm seeing, and I'm curious if you're seeing this, when people get notifications on their Apple Watch, they look. And the people around them interpret that as, oh, you're done with our conversation.
I'm very cognizant of that, certainly for myself, right? Because it can easily communicate the I'm impatient now scenario, right? And so when I catch myself doing that, I always have to say, you know, I find myself saying, oh, sorry, got a notification. My apologies, you know. And there are times where I will, if I'm involved in something, I'll take my phone and watch off and put them aside so that I you know, so that the notifications stop. And obviously I could do not disturb it or whatever, but sometimes it's just simpler to just take the stupid thing off.
Mm-hmm.
But is it any different, right? You know, someone looking at their watch simply for the reason of looking at, oh gosh, what time is it? I want to get out of here. Certainly communicates I'm done with you, but someone looking at their watch or their phone because a notification came in, to me, is just as rude.
Sure.
And communicates a similar message. Like, there's something more important than what you and I are doing right here. You know, like if I'm sitting down with someone and I know that I might get a call or a text from, you know, either one of you guys that's important for work or, you know, one of my kids or, you know, something like that, I will tell them in advance, hey, look, I'm expecting, or my son is doing his first drive and I'm just a little bit on edge about that. I'm looking for, you know, I'm going to be aware of this. And I usually pave the way for that, as we all would, you know, in a scenario like that. And that excuses it. But, you know, of course you have to not do that all the time. So yeah. I don't know. I don't know that it's any different. I guess that's my point is, yes, I see people do that. And it's like, okay, well, it's the same thing. And it's like somebody that has their notification sound on their phone in a public scenario, and it's constantly notifying them, and they don't seem to think that, hey, maybe I should, you know, mute that.
That annoys me.
Yeah, I mean, it's this whole the social norms associated with these new devices. We're not there yet. We haven't figured it all out yet. We're finding our way through it, and it is very distracting having those notifications. And they do. I mean, they're built to capture our attention, and it fires on those dopamine receptors and all of that stuff. Like, oh, something's happening that's important for me. You know, we need to sort through that as a society, and we are. But we're not there yet. It's too soon for us to actually to expect to be there. Yeah.
So now, Andrew, since you're a little bit younger than Dave and I are, you've been coming into this where technology devices are more common than they were for us when we were younger. Are you seeing differences with the way the people that you're interacting with regularly are using these devices?
Yeah. I mean, when I mentioned, I've noticed among my friends who are also younger, I don't think there's as much of a stigma. I don't know what else word to use about using your phone when you're in a group of friends. Like, I try not to. I try to, you know, interact with everyone in a group, but
that's because you're a good person.
Oh, thank you.
But it's not seen as rude if you're in a conversation with someone and they happen to look at their phone while you're chatting with them.
Exactly. Thanks.
Yeah. I noticed that with my kids too. It's just this thing that happens, and it's, you know, there's this, and it's wrong, but there's this assumption that you can have a conversation and also be looking at, you know, this other thing that's happening. And it's not true, right? One will distract you from the other, but it's not seen as rude. We haven't figured out that actually is a bad thing that we probably need to correct for yet.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Dave, I think that several companies are working on that right now.
Agreed.
And that'll be when we're all wearing glasses.
Yeah.
And we don't need to give off any visual cues that we're doing something else.
Yeah, but see, I'm not... So there's that, right? There's the visual cues. There's the social acceptance of this. But then there's also, like, the fact that we are humans, and humans are terrible. In fact, it is impossible for humans to actively multitask. Yes, I can be digesting food and breathing while I am having this podcast conversation with you guys, right? Yeah. So in that sense, totally no problem multitasking. But focusing on two things at once is not something we humans do. We are very good at spotlighting, right? You know, where you can focus on something and then detach from that, focus on something else, detach from that, go back to the first thing. That's fine, but that's not multitasking, right?
And Dave, I would go so far as to say you being able to sit in your studio and record a show while eating something is not
while eating, while digesting something I've already eaten. Like my body is digesting.
Okay.
My body is breathing. These are, you know, involuntary things. I do not have to focus on them, nor do I get to decide that they, I mean, I can decide my breathing stops until my body, you know, turns off my brain and starts me breathing again.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right. Exactly. So there's the things that we don't control about our bodies, and those things certainly can happen in parallel with us doing other things. But otherwise, no, it's just, and there are many people I'm sure listening to this saying, no, I'm a great multitasker. It's like, yeah, I know you think that. No, you're wrong.
You're very,
I used to think that too.
Yeah, yeah. You're actually very efficient at single tasking quickly in succession.
Mm-hmm. Maybe, or maybe you're really bad at that too.
And you don't realize it.
And you don't realize it. Like that's more likely. I'm just putting it out there. It is more likely.
Dave, do you remember the old network technology, the whole token ring thing?
I was just going to say token ring. Yeah.
I think that's more like what our brains are capable of doing.
Yes.
And a lot of it happens fast enough that we just interpret that as multitasking.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. The problem is when we try to embrace and control that and think about it as multitasking, like, oh, it's no big deal. I can be, you know, talking to you and typing this email simultaneously. Yeah.
Yeah. No, I can't.
Really? I don't. Yeah. No, that's not how it works. You will lose track of one or the other. Guaranteed.
Yeah. Yep. You will. Hey, we're out of time. And where we ended up with this discussion is not where I thought we were going, which is awesome because I love surprises like that. So we have to wrap up. Dave, thanks for being here today.
Thanks for having me.
Andrew, thank you for being here as well.
My pleasure.
And thank you to Jamf Now for being our sponsor today. Head over to their website, jamf.com. That's jamf.com/TDO. And sign up for your free account and get 3 devices on there for free forever and only $2 per device per month after that. So thank you, Jamf Now, for being our sponsor. Listeners, I'm so glad you're here. Thank you for joining us. We'll see everyone again tomorrow.